Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back to the Beacon Bits. That's our section of the show where we talk about pieces of information that you can find in your free copy of the Beacon newspaper. It was really intended for those who are 50 and over, but the information, frankly, is so good. Technology, health, money, travel, all kinds of things are there. Today we're celebrating a holiday, and we've previously recorded this segment for that reason. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good, thank you. Tell us about the holiday today.
Oh, this is the holiday of Shavuot.
Okay.
It's 7 weeks after Passover. Non-Jews call it, I think, Pentecost, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay,
right?
Okay,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, in Jewish tradition, it's the time when the Torah was given to the Jewish people on Mount Sinai.
Oh, okay. So it's when Moses came down.
That's right.
With the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
Very good.
That's
very
right.
Good. So your celebration involves what today?
Like any other Jewish holiday, right now as you're hearing this, I'm actually in synagogue.
Okay.
there's a fairly long service, but then it's also there's all night learning the night before and the first night of Shavuot is traditional because we accepted the Torah and all of the teaching, so we show ourselves so interested in the new learning that we spend all night going through it.
Fascinating.
So there are all kinds of classes and lectures and things, and every synagogue in my neighborhood, and there are a number of them, have their own different programs, and you can bop around from one to the other, and they're all serving ice cream and blintzes and stuff during the night to keep you awake and all, so, you know.
Coffee-flavored.
Yes, coffee,
matzah.
Of course, lots of that.
Okay, right, so tell us what's in this month's issue.
Travel section is sort of interesting.
Great. Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Dijon, France. I've been to Paris and really loved it, but this article is written about Dijon, which of course is known for its mustard, and its multi-flavored mustard, apparently, and she talks about that in the article as well, but it's also in the Burgundy region, which of course is known for its wines, so it's really, there's a lot of wine country tours, and there's hiking tours, and she goes on and on about how beautiful the area is, and all of the medieval buildings are still there. They were not destroyed by World War II in these areas, so there's a tremendous amount of history, and then apparently the dukes and duchesses who ran the Duchy of Burgundy from the 11th to the 15th centuries built humongous, tremendous castles and beautiful homes. And they're all there for touring or have been turned into great museums like the Fine Arts Museum and whatnot. So it sounds like a really good place to go visit.
Plus, it's a great time to buy real estate in Europe
right
now.
Oh, really? Yes,
because
with the euro being so low.
Yeah. Ah. What else do you have?
So we like to do both an international story and a local story every month in the Beacon. So our local story this time is about all the wonderful wildlife visits, places you can visit wildlife here in the Washington region.
Okay.
And we really are blessed. We don't think of it so much. You know, we think of Washington and the Beltway, and we think of, you know, the government buildings and all the nice museums.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the Anacostia River, the Potomac River, we have Roosevelt Island, we have all kinds of things around here, Rock Creek Park. And she goes on and explains the various things that one can do and the various groups that are conducting hikes and boat rides. And then there are other things a little further afield that I wasn't familiar with, like Huntley Meadows Park in Alexandria, and the Jug Bay Wetland Sanctuary in Lothian, Maryland. Poolsville has the McKee Bashir's Wildlife Management Area. There are all kinds of places, thousands of acres, set aside, beautiful, full of all kinds of wildlife. And this time of year, it's a great time to go visit.
I love going out into nature. I just love it. I enjoyed doing climbing and backpacking and the bicycling and so on. It's just fun to get away and putting the phone away. Putting the cell phone away and just getting out and breathing the mountain air, it's really quite wonderful.
So you don't use the GPS to find your way around?
No, when I'm on a trail, that's funny, I don't really think of it that way. It's like, you know, you just follow the painted marks and you make your way through. So one of my favorite places is right nearby. It's called Capon Springs, West Virginia.
Huh.
And it's just out 66 to 81 south and then off of 55 going a little bit further west.
I've been to Berkeley Springs. Is it nearby?
Yeah, it's not. It's actually closer than Berkeley Springs. Oh. And Capon Springs is kind of like Brigadoon to me. It's magical little place where they sold water. It's there's actually a mountain home that presidents visited, and Capon means healing waters, actually. Mm. So if you like good water, that's actually
spas
and so on.
Sure.
It's quite fun. And if you contact them, tell Jonathan that Eric Stewart said hi. Okay. Well, thanks, Stewart. I'm thrilled to have Robert Garcia join me. Robert's been a member of the Eric Stewart Group for 11 plus years now. Robert, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I mentioned on last week's show that you had the opportunity to take one of our sellers and a buyer and the other agent and sit in a conference room and hash out the negotiations for the purchase of our seller's property. What happened?
That was a very interesting case. So we all got to the table. We got the meeting together. buyer comes with a buyer's agent. I am there with the sellers. And then the buyer's agent pulls out the offer and goes through all the details of the offer. At the same time, you know, everybody's looking at each other. And then my client looks at me and says, what do you think? At that point, I go to my client and say, well, Mr. Seller, I think this is a very straightforward offer given the conditions of the market. The only thing is that you understand that this offer is contingent on the sale of two properties, not only one, but two properties. And then I can see him getting a little nervous about it. So I ask the other realtor and the buyer that if you could give us a few minutes to go out and talk about it. So we went out and talked, you know, the back patio overlooking the beautiful backyard they have. And we start talking about everything, all the potentials of this. The only thing I did assure the seller was the property is located in a great neighborhood, one in Bethesda and the other one in Rockville, and they should sell right away. So what we did then, we came back and we start talking about how can we make the home sale contingency shorter and can we only work with one property versus the two, because you know how difficult it is when you have one, you know, home sale contingency and then it has two in one. It was really hard. So we got on the phone with a loan officer about this. He said, well, if he sells one of the property, the single family, then we can make it happen. So we went ahead, make that change. The buyer didn't like it much. He was a little bit, like, nervous about only one property, but I said, we're going to have to do this if you really want the house. In the meantime, there was other people that would have some, you know, other agents with some interest in the property, but no offer. So we needed to work with the offer we had in front of us. It was different. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when you negotiate offers, you do it over the phone with the other agent, and then the agent takes it to the buyer, and I go and take it to my clients. In this case, it was like when you're playing poker with everybody in Las Vegas. Everybody's just looking at you, and you wish to have the dark glasses so people know if you're bluffing or not. And unfortunately, we didn't have that. We just were, you know, everybody in front of there, and just any gesture will give a sign to either party of yes or no, maybe, or I don't like it, and so on. But we got it all done. The seller got a great, great deal, shorter contingency, only one home sale contingency, and the house is going on the market this week, and they price it right, so I think they're going to sell it right away.
Great feedback, Robert. A delicate situation because you're representing your client. You want your client to be able to make a good decision, one that you're protecting your client in making that decision. So you wisely pulled yourselves out of that room so you didn't reveal too much in front of the other folks. So well done in that negotiation, a challenging situation, no doubt. Quick question about the Latin American market. You're from El Salvador, and I see you selling quite a few homes to Latin American purchasers and for Latin American sellers within our group, the Eric Stewart Group. What are you seeing in 1 or 2 minutes?
Sure. What I think is the Latin American buyer, and as Hispanics, it's a growing population in this country, mm-hmm. and especially here in the area. I think we're going to see a big growth in the next few years. Unfortunately, the Hispanic community got hit pretty bad in the housing meltdown of 2008. But I think they're now, came back now. They understand what is required. The ones that took a hit and had like a short sale foreclosure, they have their, you know, credit score up to where they need it, and they're now working with FHA. I think we're going to see a lot of Latin American buyers coming pretty soon to the market, and I think that's what it's probably going to help us in the next 2 or 3 years at this market and the millennials start buying homes again in the area.
Do you see growth in the population where we had a diminishment of the Spanish population in our area, the Hispanic population? What are we seeing, a resurgence of people coming into the area like we had 10 years ago, or not so much?
Not so much people moving into the area. You have a lot of the people that work in D.C. for the World Bank and all those big organizations, but I think within the people that we have here, they are the ones that went out and started renting properties, and now they're coming out of the rental market and getting into the buyer's market. And I think that's probably what's going to help us. There's going to be less people renting in the Hispanic community moving into purchasing houses. Keep in mind that the buying power is probably between $300,000 and $600,000. That's where most of the families are going to qualify because of the dual income, and you know they have savings. For sure, all these years they've been saving because a lot of the buyers that have been talking recently, they not only have enough money to cover the down payment and the closing costs, but they have reserves because they know how strict the banks are after 28, and they want to show that capability of moving forward. I'm very excited, to be honest with you, because it is going to be a great time for people to come back on the market and buy these beautiful homes that we have in the area.
It's outstanding, Robert. Thank you very much. Robert Garcia with the Eric Stewart Group. More to come right here on WMAL.